Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Well, welcome to Marriage Part 4. Let's pray, get into this. Father, thank you so much for what we've already experienced. And now, Lord, get us ready for what we're ready to experience. Everybody say, help us, please, Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. One more time, let's lift it up for those watching online with us this morning. Amen. Well, as you can tell, it's going to be a little different up here today. Different is good, amen? Amen. And before we get there this morning, I've got some things that I want to cover to get to. We're going to have some panel guests up here sharing with us this morning. But I want to start off with a little lightheartedness because we may get a little heavy a little bit later on, okay? So I printed these off the old wonderful website of the internet and all that. So talking about marriage, everybody say marriage. I found this when a couple said, man, marriage is just like a walk in the park. And the spouse answered, yeah, Jurassic Park. That's pretty good, amen. Now, this one I find to be true also. When a married dog owner leaves the house, to the dog they say, be a good little feller. I love you. You want a snack before I go, a treat? Oh, I'm going to miss you. Hey, mommy will be right back. Daddy will be right back. We'll cuddle just as soon as I get home. And I promise I'll get back here just as fast as I can to be with you. To their spouse, they say, I'm gone, bye. How many of y'all can relate to that one? And then the final one today, just for a little fun. A man says to his wife one day, I want you to know something right now, woman. I am now the man of this house, so starting first thing tomorrow, I just want to let you know, I want you to have a hot, delicious meal ready for me the second I walk through this door. Come on, man. And after that, woman, listen, after that, while I'm watching ESPN and relaxing in my chair, you will bring me my slippers, and then you'll go run me bathwater. Come on. Then he says to her this right here, woman, and when I'm done with my bath, take a guess at who's going to dress me and comb my hair. The wife looks up and says, the funeral director. Woo! Somebody say it's okay in the house of God. Amen. At some point in time, every marriage needs help. Say amen to that. Let me fix my, I'm out of wink over there. Here we go. Amen? And we know, again, I'm going to go through this real quick because I want to get our guest up here today. Marriages don't stand still. Your marriage is either getting better or worse, so you know that's right. And let's go ahead and put up my first note. Of course, we know this right here. Say it with me. Marriage works 100% of the time when you do what? When you do it God's way, it never fails. And all this whole series, and as we're ending this series, if you're watching, you can go back and watch the first three parts. It might bless you a little bit. But hopefully it will. But each week we've been doing the letter. First week was letter H. Second week was letter E. Last week was letter L. Today's message is brought to you by the letter P. Absolutely. We're going to have a good day for this letter. And I will give a shout out to last night's life group where me and my wife were at. And they were talking about, and I got to give that Chauncey said to me. She said, I'm just wondering when you're going to get to the men. She said, the first week you really wore the women out. And I'm like, I talked about the men in that too. She said, well, what about the men? She said, and what's P going to represent in marriage? Like, perfect? And I knew she was talking about her husband. So Quentin, she says, he's perfect. I mean, P is for you women that are married to a husband because we're perfect. All right, let's invite the Holy Spirit back. All right. So your marriage should be the perfect example of what the Bible calls a man and woman of God. You should be a perfect example as much as depends on you. The Bible says live at peace with all people, including your spouse. Thank you for that overwhelming over. So these words are not going to be on the screen today, so you want to write these down. Here are the letters and the words that start with the letter P for your marriage this week. And unfortunately, I want to start with this one first, because if you've been married, again, more than like 24 hours, sometimes you'll understand in marriage it can be painful. It can be painful. Unmet expectations, hurt feelings, and learning to grow with each other. It's painful to grow in a marriage sometimes, because you married somebody that's not like you. They're the opposite sex as you. Amen. So sometimes that happens. So again, we're going to get out of that, but just know that sometimes it is a little painful. Especially if you're married to that little bit of an extra person, you know what I mean? Now, the next one is right the opposite of that. Marriage, according to the letters P, should be something that is pleasant and peaceful. Amen. It's like I said, make sure that your home is a house your spouse wants to come home for and come home to and come home and be with you. Make it a pleasant home. Make it a peaceful home. Amen. Don't make it another battle that spouse is dreading to get home because they know what waits at home. So many marriages are like that today. And another word is present. Everybody say present. Present. Look, if you're going to be married, show up. Be present in your home. Don't be an absent husband. Don't be an absent wife. Just because you're under the same roof in the same living room does not mean you're present with your spouse. You've got to be there in spirit, soul, and body. Amen? And then the next one. Marriage is a place for you to feel protected. It's a place where you need to be secure. And you know that the things that you struggle with and go through, that your spouse is not out there running their mouth about it. Somebody say, that's good preaching. And then there's two more. Well, actually, there's three, but the two kind of go together. We're going to concentrate on this one tonight or today. Priority. Make your marriage a priority above everything else except your personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. Your spouse has to be your priority. Now, I'm not going to try to go into this much today, but your kids are not your priority over your spouse. Amen. Men, listen to me. You are a husband before you are a father. Right. Ladies, you are a wife before you are a mother. Right. That doesn't get out of line just because you had kids. You're supposed to stay that first. As a matter of fact, your kids will be more blessed if you keep that first. Can I have a bit? Yeah, you go ahead and golf clap that all you want. Now, real quickly, priority simply means this is where I'm spending my time, my energy, and my resources. See, when you've got most of your time, most of your energy, and the best of your resources going towards your spouse and nowhere else, yes, we still have to work. Yes, we still got to raise kids. And that takes a lot of energy, time, and resources. But when you are stealing from your spouse and you're pouring all your time, energy, resources into kids, into other people, and you're letting your marriage go, you are wrong. You're out of order. And it's not godly. So make sure, even if it's, get it in there, amen? Oh, I so want to preach on this, but I got to get the paddle up here today. The last one is, in the marriage, there should be pleasure and passion. It got quiet there. It should, everybody say it should be. It should be pleasurable, and you should have passion for each other in every area. Every area. And we're going to talk about that other area. So everybody say passion and pleasure. Now, that really is the word I want to use today, real quickly, before I get the panel up here. Passion and pleasure is the word intimacy. Everybody say intimacy. Intimacy. Now, if I ask you today, how's the intimacy in your marriage, you're automatically going to go in one place. You're going to think of sexual intimacy. That's what everybody thinks. That's kind of like the default answer when you hear the word intimacy. It's always referred around sexual intimacy, sexual pleasure inside the marriage. Everybody say, uh-huh. And can I tell you that while that may be true, it's got much more to do with it. Intimacy, and I know this is going to sound weird. Matter of fact, just go ahead and put the note up. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Intimacy in marriage is not just about sex. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
It's not just about that. Now, that is a big part of it. And I know some of the ladies here, you're going, nope, that's all it's about for him. Because when I'm in one-on-one sessions and I'm helping couples and I look at them and I say, you know, it's not about the sexual intimacy at all, even for a man. They're like, you are nuts. We need to go find somebody else. You're not going to be able to help us a bit. And I'm like, I promise you it's not.
Amen.
It's not. It's a big part of it. But it's not just the part. The part is they want to touch your heart. They want somebody that wants them. And it is present and is there for them in every way possible.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. All right. So again, this idea that sexual intimacy is just about sex between marriages, again, that is messing so many couples up that I deal with. Because you have that one-track mind about what intimacy is. Amen? Now, let me just tell you this right here. No one on the face of God's green earth is able to or can have or have the time and the energy and the resources to have sexual intimacy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I know some of you think you would like to try. But I promise you, no one has the ability to do that. But let me tell you something. You can have intimacy with your spouse every single day. Pretty much all day, every day, too. If you put your time, your energy, and your resource to it. There can be intimacy between man and woman every day of the week. But you got to get out of that. See, you are a multidimensional person. God created you to do multiple things. And so why have we taken one of the most precious words in between marriage, intimacy, and we've made it one-dimensional where it just means sex? True intimacy inside a covenant marriage, it is multidimensional. And you need intimacy all through your marriage. If you want to have good physical intimacy, you got to have the other areas. Let me give them to you real quick. Let me just go ahead and put up the next note what intimacy really is right quick. Intimacy is nothing more than this. Now look at this. Connecting with someone, talking about spouse in a marriage, connecting with someone who you desire. Everybody say you desire. Come on, say you desire. Talking about yourself, not them. Connecting with someone whom you desire to share your whole life within every aspect of it. It's not trying to find somebody that wants you. You're the one. If you want to be intimate with somebody, it's me giving myself to you. But most time, it's what can you do for me? Intimacy is not about what the person can do for me. True intimacy is me wanting to do everything I can for you. It's coming into your world. Again, who did you marry? Did you marry yourself or did you marry your spouse? The intimacy is to go to your spouse, not to yourself. So, I'm going to give you a list real quickly of what intimacies we need to have in our marriage. Number one, you need to have emotional intimacy. You need to share things emotionally. Amen? That is very intimate. When you can share your thoughts and your deepest needs and your desires and your hurts and your failures and your successes, and you connect on that emotional level. Guys, I know it's real, trust me. I know we don't think about it, but it's real. The next one, go ahead, number two, financial intimacy. Oh, that's a big one. Everybody say, that's a big one. If you're not financially intimate with each other, then your bills are going to be over here. You're going to be mad because he's spending on this. You're going to be mad because she's bought three of these already and bought another one off TikTok. Amen? So that financial intimacy is when you take and you share your finances in every way. And no, I'm not hiding spending. I'm not doing this. And so there needs to be financial intimacy. And I could go all day on all these, but I'm right for this. Our panel's coming up. The next one is spiritual intimacy. You need to go to church together. You need to worship together. You need to have times when you talk about the Bible and what's going on with the Spirit of God. What's your feeling from God? So many couples don't have any spiritual intimacy at all. And then if you decide to have kids, you have family intimacy. You keep the kids in a proper order behind the marriage. Kids are going, uh-uh. And unfortunately, most kids are running the family today. Oh, I could break all this. Next one, recreational intimacy. You need to do something fun in their world. They need to do something fun in your world and actually go and enjoy it and not drag you down. but to become intimate with your relations. What does your spouse like to do for fun? And you join in. And then here's the big one. Communication intimacy. Learning how to talk. Again, I talked about this a little bit in the first or second session. Learn to talk to somebody. Don't talk at them. Talk with them and to them. Most couples, their communications, I'm talking at you. I'm at you. Talk with them. Talk to them. Amen? Communication intimacy. And then there's the last two, which we call physical, non-sexual intimacy. There is such a thing. Ladies, can I have an amen there?
Amen.
Now, guys, we don't understand this. We think every touch ought to lead there. Come on now. I'm waiting for some real men to step up here and agree. But it's the non-sexual physical intimacy we have. It could be holding hands, hugging, riding down the road and holding her hand or his hand. It's the touching that doesn't lead to expectations of being let down. Put it like that. Yeah. All right, ladies, so since you're so excited about that, let's put up the last one. Sexual intimacy. Bada boom, bada bing. How you doing? Yay for that. But all of these are intimacy. Every one of them. And guys, if you want to get to the last one, make sure the other ones are happening on a regular basis too. Amen. I'm going to go on because we got time. Go ahead and come on up, panel. We're going to bring our panel up. Come this way. That way the ladies can be helped over here because we got men over here. See, now let me show you what men do with a lady. Are y'all seeing this? They're not there to help the guys up, but they're going to help these women up on this platform because that's what men do. Come on around. Just have a seat there. Now, as these guys are coming up, and they got voluntold. Voluntold. But they did. Whoop. Where am I going to sit? I don't get to sit next to you? Get down. I think my marriage might need a little help. Oh, Jesus.
Can I sit out of the chair?
That's my chair. I'm fixing to join my wife here in a moment. But, you know, the longer you're married, the better it should get. And what we have up here today is it's different stages of life, different seasons of life. You've got Mr. Ray and Miss Linda. Hold on just a second. Let me get y'all a microphone. And while I'm getting this one, I'll be getting everybody else's. Introduce yourself. Tell them who you are and how long you've been married. Happily been married.
I'm Linda Bardane. This is Ray. We've been married for nearly 60 years.
Huh? Is it green? Yeah, don't mash the buttons. I done got them mashed for you.
All right. So I'm Jamie. This is Rachel. We've been married for 3.5 years.
I'm Linda Bates, and I've been married for 53 years, but 6 of those have been by myself.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm Kim Coates, and I have had the pleasure of being married to my master. For those, it's a joke. You got to go back and listen to the first one. Anyway, to my husband for, what did we just celebrate? 34 years.
I'm going to get this back where you guys can get the full advantage of seeing everything that goes on up here today. It's just a day. All right. Are y'all ready? I've got one. Yeah, I've got one. Good. Now, again, what you've got up here is a plethora of, you've got a fairly young marriage that's just starting out. You've got a very seasoned marriage of over 60 years. You've got another seasoned marriage because there's a lot of people that are single, either divorced or something, or they're widowed. And also, the one reason I want her up here is her and her husband were pastors also. So there's always a different dynamic to every marriage of what you do for a living, how you deal with people, and then the impact it makes inside your marriage. So she's got wisdom. And then, of course, we're the middle-aged, younger middle-aged people. In between married with children. So again, there's a lot of marriage experience up here, okay? Everybody say, uh-huh. So I don't know, and again, we haven't rehearsed anything. So again, we don't know for sure where this is going to go, but I've got just a few questions, and if you don't each one have to answer, but let's keep it short. That way we can get through a lot of questions here today. But first question, if you had to, what would you say, do you love each other more now than you did the earlier part of your marriage? We can defer that to Ray and Linda.
Well, I would say yes. You know, it's a different love now. We've got a few miles on us than it was when we first married. I mean, you know.
Excellent. Linda?
Absolutely.
This Ditto. One here? Yeah. Got two Lindas.
It's absolutely better at the end than it was at the beginning. It was a sort of a surface love when we first started, and by the end, it was such a deep love that we almost could finish each other's sentences.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that, if you'll hear me say, marriages don't stand still. They either get better or they get worse as you go on, and you get to choose. Okay? Awesome. All right. So what role would you say that respect and honor for each other has in your marriage, and where did you learn it from? Y'all go ahead, Jamie.
Well, I would say that respecting and honoring one another would be like knowing that we're different, but knowing that she's a child of God, I'm a child of God, and we have to respect that and love each other no matter what. And I would say both for Rachel and myself, we learned it through godly marriages themselves, Jesse and Bill, and then my mom and my father. Great examples growing up for both of us.
Amen. Miss Linda down there? What would you say on that one?
What was the question?
What role does respect and honor in your marriage have, and kind of where did you learn it from?
Oh, okay. Well, we basically grew up together, so I guess I learned it from the Word. Mm-hmm. Because I had to look at him not only as my husband and my mate and everything, but he's also my brother in Christ.
Good.
So, you know, I have to... I can't respect any man out there more than I respect my husband.
Oh, that's good. So, that is good. That's good. Yeah, you can clap for that. That's good. All right, guys. Let's start with Miss Bates here. When you ran into obstacles, roadblocks, or conflicts in your marriage, what seemed to be yours or your husband's default reaction? Did you guys just get angry? Did you run home to mama? Did you blame each other? Or how did you look to solve problems when they did, where you guys could move forward?
Well, probably early in our marriage, we did some of all of it.
I think we all do. Good answer, yes.
But as we got on in our marriage, we learned to sometimes take a cooling off period and then come back together and try to discuss and pray and solve it.
Good. Any of y'all want to touch that one? What do you do when you get ticked off at each other? How do you handle it, basically?
Well, thankfully, we don't do that much anymore.
Amen.
But we did, you know, early on in our marriage. I was, first 4 years I was in service. And, you know, we were away from family and everybody else. So it's just us against the world. And, you know, I think it, in a way, that bonded us to the point that, sure, we had our arguments, we had our fights, we'd get angry. There was the silent treatment, you know, and all that. But, you know, we worked through it and come back, and as we kind of talked about this a little bit the other day, you know, you can't we've been all married almost 60 years, so you can't look at one thing and say this, this, or this, you know, developed us. It's been a process. Good. It's been a learning experience, and we're still learning.
And oh, that's key.
Thankfully for a pastor that teaches this, that, you know, we've learned from him what he's taught, even just in this series. So we don't know it all. We're not in that perfect
right
point yet, but and still learning and hope to learn till we go home.
All right, dear, what would you say to that?
Well, like they said in the beginning, we probably did all of those.
Yeah, we did.
We had, yeah. So I think you mature in the Word. You mature together as a couple. We both took our vows serious. We didn't just take them with one another. We took them to God that day. So there may have been times I may have could have walked down on him, but I couldn't do that because I also made my vow to God. So anyway.
Go on, yeah, I want to hear this.
But don't, to the ones that are not married yet, the ones that are newlyweds, it does seem the longer you're married, if you stay in Christ and if you work together, it does get better. Again, like they said, we don't know it all. We're still learning ourselves. Amen. Listen, I'm going to be honest. We had a fight this week of all, like the month of love and the month of he's preaching on marriage, and we're supposed to get up here. We fought this week. So, you know, I want to keep it real. So the enemy's real, and he's going to tempt you. He's going to try to get you against one another. You know, he's going to try to rise up that selfishness in you. It's like, no, I'm right. And he's like, no, I'm right. So, but, you know, you just keep praying and you come together. And
you find out I'm right and everything's okay.
But what I want to encourage you with is, had I walked out of our marriage in our early days, he's matured, I've matured. It gets better. It gets sweeter. Don't give up, you know. If you will stay in it and you keep working, yeah, it's work some days, but it's worth it. So don't give up. Stick with them.
Okay. One scripture that I always use with couples, because I see this a lot in marriages that really hurt marriages, is Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, where it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast, the other word uses cleave, to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What do you guys have seen in, not, maybe not your marriage, but other marriages where that has not been done, how it hinders the marriage, and did y'all go through anything like that, making that disconnect and becoming just one and making parents and siblings and extended family? Whoever wants to go with that, go.
Okay. I know for us, especially when we got married, we like moved right out of our parents' house, and that helped us because if you don't set boundaries early, then your family like greatly influences your marriage, and it can either help or hurt you because there's either generational curses or just bad things that you learned, so you have to like relearn and make boundaries for yourselves because you're not married to the rest of your family. You're starting a new family.
Right. Y'all actually paid attention during that. Okay, good. Yeah, Ms. Bates.
I've seen in marriages that one or the other does not or will not turn loose of their first family. And I'm not doing this ugly, ladies, but it's usually the lady that doesn't.
Keep it real.
You want to stay in that family and just kind of visit in the family with your husband. Mm. And when the husband and wife get married, that's a new family.
Right.
And that should be the main emphasis that you focus on, not the family that you were in. And too often I've seen in marriages that will split a couple up really quickly. Yeah. If they won't turn loose of this other family.
Good. Y'all hear that?
You don't have to forsake them or anything. You still love them and everything, but this is your main focus when you marry a husband or wife.
Amen. All God's children said. All right, let's move a little bit more into that spiritual intimacy category. And these questions are kind of combined, so I'm just going to read them both, and then whoever wants to reply. Would you say that your relationship is solidly grounded on the foundation of your faith in Jesus Christ? And I can attest all these up here are. And because of that, what difference as a couple did you guys experience because of your Christian faith? And do you think that that is one of the most important impacts for your quality of your relationship and your marriage? That's a lot, yeah. But we're all Christians up here. What role has our Christian walk and our spiritual walk played in our marriage and made a difference?
Since we were in the ministry, I would say that was a main focus. Mm-hmm. We pastored smaller churches all of our ministry, which was 42 years. Wow. And not only did we pastor, but each of us had a job outside of that in the secular world. And then we had two children. So our main focus was the church and it growing and winning souls. So we were involved quite a bit. And that played a big role. I mean, we were constantly in church work, in prayer, in working for the Lord. And that kept us with our feet
face on the ground. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Anyone down there? Question is basically what's the difference it's made with you guys being Christians versus, and you guys especially being a young married couple in today's times when marriage has been deleted to just shack up, just fornicate all you want, just go out here and try it out before you buy it, get the guarantee on it or whatever. So speak to that as a young married couple.
I would say that it helps us handle adversity better. Like when things come against us, we know like who strengthens us. So having that is a good foundation for when bad things happen, but also when good things are to come, knowing that we want to keep God in the plans for the future, keeping God a firm foundation to build upon.
Now, would you say also when others are out doing things y'all now know better?
Yeah.
Than to follow that trap?
No. You know, a lot of our generation, a lot of people, they do that. Mm-hmm. And it's not something we want to take a part of because we know God has bigger plans for us and he wants to move in our marriage.
Right.
And if we do those things, then it's falling into the world and we're called to be apart from the world.
Right. Awesome. All right. We'll move on to the next one real quickly. This is a big one here now. How often do you sit down as a couple and just simply talk to each other? And do you actually have a specific time or way that you make that happen? Start on the end down there, and we'll come all the way this way with everybody.
Well, we all, and here again, we talked about this a little bit the other day, that we don't just, I'm retired, she's retired, we're together all the time. So our talking and communication might be 2 or 3 minutes at a time, but it's all day.
All day.
You know, it's all the time.
Now, see, that's one season of life there, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, I know everybody can't do that. And so it's just our time of life, as Pastor said, and it's a lot easier for us to do that than I know you guys would have to work all the time and you can get busy, but, you know, all these things that we've talked about, you know, you got to incorporate and take time for each other in it.
That's good. All right, Rachel, Jamie.
Well, we're blessed because we have the same job. We work the same schedule. We ride to and from work together. So when we ride to work, we talk about it.
But you do that without killing each other?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
It works
great.
It
can be done.
We don't work in the exact same spot. We work in different parts of the hospital.
Okay, so good deal.
But the car ride's good. And also, I would say it's important. One thing that we have started working on is incorporating like a war room or a prayer room.
Mm-hmm.
That we can both talk to God individually, but also together with God.
Awesome.
The prayer room.
Awesome. Miss Bates.
What's the question?
What's the question again? Communicating as a couple, having that time to share, did y'all actually have to make time? Did you have time, or how did that work with you guys?
In different times of our life,
right.
It was at different times. Sometimes it was as we were going somewhere in the car,
or could be late at night after the boys went to sleep. There were always times when we would make time to get together, you know, to be together and talk.
But you had to make that happen,
yes.
Correct? Okay. Go ahead, baby.
I would say ours mostly is in the evenings, usually after we get in bed and wind down.
Kids' bed, yep.
Yeah, which we're beginning to enter in a different season for ourselves as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. but I would say, because we're not really morning people, so.
Well, we're morning, but we just get up and go. It's
yeah.
get up and go.
Yeah.
We don't drink coffee on the back porch. And she just started drinking coffee two years ago. I'm still not old enough to drink it.
In the evenings. Now, we text off and on during the day, or, you know, if I got a question that it's too much for text, we'll call or whatever. But usually in the evenings and, after we get in bed at night.
Yeah. And be honest, and there's times we don't communicate every day much at all because of our schedules going and doing. But again, and so it's like, I'm real bad at going, what? When did that? I told you about that the other day. But I wasn't listening. I ain't put it on my calendar. So, again, there's always struggles on every side of communication. All right, guys. Males and females often have different communication styles. Have you found this true in your marriage, and how did you work through those challenges? You start, Kim. Huh? Go ahead.
Yes, they do. They do have different styles. We have different styles.
Absolutely.
I've found that men don't, like, they listen, but they don't listen.
Huh?
Or at least he don't. I don't know. I don't know if they're wired that. I don't know, you know. But I know God made them like he wants them, so, and God made us. And so I pretty much have to I'm like, now look at me, babe. Now listen, you know. And if it's something I really need him to, okay, let's put this in your calendar. And mm-hmm. so... Yeah, I do think there's different styles of...
And that helps. It really does. Sometimes we have to do the elementary thing. I need you to go to the Dollar General, pick up the corn chips. It's going to be the yellow bag, not the red one with the salt on it. The yellow bag.
If you only want one bag, specify. I only need one bag, not three. Like, I sent him for Velveeta cheese. I said, I just need some Velveeta cheese. I'm thinking one little block. He's gone forever. I'm like, what is? Because men are coming. They're having their life group, and I'm like, I got to get this stuff going. And I'm like, what is taking him so long? I'm starting to get concerned. So I pull him up on 360, and he's on 157. He comes in. He's like, man, I had to go to two different Dollar Generals. I'm like, for what? They only had one block. I had to go down the other one to get the. I said, I only needed one.
A good man goes above and beyond. She got five blocks of cheese.
I was like, if y'all need Velveeta, holler at me.
Someone else take that one and run, please. And again, it's the difference between men and women's communication skills and how you learn to adapt and overcome it.
I could have a total conversation with my husband and him not hear a thing.
We love you, Boris. We understand.
And he would not remember anything I say. He had to be looking at me before he knew what I was saying. But now the TV, he could sit and zone in on it.
Imagine that, guys.
So, yeah, communication, you have to make sure that they know that you're talking to them.
Yes.
Yeah, I think timing is a big thing with them, finding the right timing to talk to them.
Ray, can you give a man's point of view on this, please?
Hey,
I don't want to get in trouble. I don't know you get in trouble. You got more years.
I've done heard it all, and I know most men that I know are this way. Linda could tell you. I hear, but I don't hear a lot of times. And a lot of times I don't hear because I can't hear. But, you know, I'm a task-oriented guy, and if I've got something on my mind, and if I'm doing anything, and she can say something, and even though I hear it, I don't hear it.
All right, now I have to ask this out of the men up here. does your wives, we'll talk about one thing in that second 0.5 seconds, they totally take a different direction on you and not tell you they switched lanes. Does that happen to y'all?
I was about to go there.
You was about to go there. Okay. Go ahead, Rachel. Go there, please, for us, honey.
Yeah, because it happens.
Honestly, today made me nervous because I tell stories 10 million different ways. So, because I'll start with one thing and then I'll go on to 10, because I have 10 tabs open and he's got one. And the one tab was 10 minutes ago. And I'm still going. So.
Yeah, and we're struggling over here because we thought we were still on task A. No, we done went to B, C, and D. But I have. Now, again, we learned this from another couple that we sat under a marriage conference one time, and they thought like women's brains and men's brains. Y'all's looks like a plate of spaghettis. Ours has one box. We do one thing at a time, ladies. Y'all do this everything at all the time. Okay?
Yeah, we're multitasking.
Absolutely multitask. Enormous multitasking. We, simple. One thing at a time. So they taught us in that class, and we taught it to other people, is, and she, I still to this day look at her and go, look at me, what box are we in? Because I was over here in box A, but you done opened up box Z over here. And then she tells me what box we're in, now I can refocus and listen. Where before, I was just like, no wonder I ain't listening. She's talking about 10 different things. Men don't have the capacity to do that. So communication, everybody say communication. Very important. All right, we got to move along. We're going to do it pretty quick here now. Shotgun these pretty quick here. Let me think which one of these I want to ask y'all. If you had to come up with an idea for fun and exciting outing, what would it be and why would you do that? For you, just you two. We'll start down there with Mr. Ray and Miss Linda.
Take a train ride.
Oh, awesome. All right.
I would say hiking, probably.
Hiking, both
hiking's
y'all?
Fine.
What did y'all do?
We went to church. Absolutely. On our honeymoon, we went to church. Some gal told us that if I just got married last night, I wouldn't be anywhere near church. I'm thinking... Why in the world would you not want to start your marriage in church?
That's good. Mm-hmm.
But we did. It was a youth retreat, and, of course, at that time, we were youth.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's wonderful, though.
We wanted to hear this special speaker came from a long ways off, and we wanted to hear him, so that's what we did.
That is wonderful. All right.
What we like to do?
What if you could pick something fun for us to do, what would it be?
Well, we like to camp, but we don't get to do that much anymore, so, yeah.
And that's one thing, you know, one of the other questions I'm not going to ask everybody to go into is, do you feel that you make enough time to do things together? No. Just as husband and wife, going out, whether it's be on a date or going out hiking or doing that thing. And again, I think you have to do it on purpose or it don't get done. And I think we're all guilty of not doing it on purpose enough to keep our marriage connected in that area. All right, so we've gotten to there. Now, just a couple of more, and we're going to let you guys go. Physical intimacy. How would you guys say that you expressed affection for each other outside the bedroom? Outside. Go ahead. Start Miss Linda and go down that way. We'll come back to you.
Oh, that's a good question. No, just taking care of each other. If I saw that he needed something, I was there. I mean, same way with me. We've always said that it's more about who we are and who we are with than what we do together. And so we might, you know, we just always enjoyed being together. And I don't know. He wasn't a very touchy-feely person when we first got married. Well, I'll take that back. But
hey, the truth sets us free. It's okay.
I'm sorry. Ooh, cut that out, please. But no.
No, we're live. It's okay. It goes out live.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, but I mean, you know, we just grew up like I say together, so we just enjoyed.
Awesome. That's great.
Well, let me address that, I think. You know,
Ray, let me clear this up. Come on, Ray.
For you guys out there, that's something you need to learn, is to enjoy being with each
right.
other. It's not necessarily about what you do. And I don't know, you know, any of you's financial situation, but you may not be able to do
right.
a lot of things. And if you don't enjoy being with each other, you know, you can be in trouble.
Ooh, that's rich.
You know, the first few years of our marriage, we were struggling to eat at times, you know. So there was nothing to go out and do. So it's not doing things that's important. It's being with each other.
That is good. Top that, y'all. Come on. Next. Rachel, Jamie.
Well, I won't be able to top that, but, you know, the holding hands and the hugs is good, and also the occasional butt slap is really good.
Absolutely. My man. My man. All right, Miss Linda, go ahead. She don't know where to go. How did you express affection for each other outside the bedroom?
My husband, he was a gift giver. Mm-hmm. He loved to send me flowers.
Oh, that's awesome.
And just for no reason. And
he's a player. He's a player.
When I was teaching in Fayetteville, he sent flowers to the school
the room and stuff, yeah.
for me, and some of the men got on to him, said, you're
oh, yeah, you make it hard on them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He said, you're making us look bad.
So, all right, baby. Oh, no, go ahead.
But that's what, and me, all of y'all, if you don't know by now, I'm a hugger. All of y'all know I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
So that was how I've showed affection.
Awesome. All right, real quickly, what would you say?
Well, he's a physical touch guy, so any type of touch to him, he's happy. So, but for me, he does things like I'm cold-natured. Most everybody that knows me knows when I say cold-natured, I'm extremely cold-natured. So, like this morning, he got up and turned the heater on in the bathroom, and you know, just things like that. Like we went to when Kayla cheered, and we'd be sitting out freezing ball games. Like he looked like the Unabomber. I'm shocked they even let him in. He toting in this big backpack with buddy heaters and all kinds of stuff. So
keep that woman.
Just you know, doing things, serving one another. Areas, you know, just whatever makes their life easier.
Yeah, you know, and again, there's no way I could do what I do without her. She takes up so much stuff that y'all never even know about. And a lot of times I get the credit because it makes me look good, but it's actually her behind the scenes making all this stuff happen that I don't have a lot of times, yeah. A lot of times I don't even have a clue what's going on, and she's just handling it. So, and I know she looks better up here anyway, so she, yeah, y'all just love on her. All right, real quickly, then I've got two more questions, and then we're going to get y'all out of here. What would you say are some of the things that you've either experienced or seen that hinders the sexual intimacy in marriages and how to deal with them? Not everybody at once. Go ahead. We'll start this way and go.
As a mother with kids, it's hard. It's hard. When you've taken care of children all day and they're pulling on you and everything, and then at night when it's time for them and you hear the little voices and the pitter-patter of feet, and it's hard. It's hard to turn that switch. But I would say for me that was probably one of the hardest times.
Yeah.
Finding that time for me and him when the kids were young.
Yeah, I think kids can be a hindrance to the intimacy inside of a marriage if you let it.
You have to get creative. You have to say, now listen, if it's Christmas time, Mom and Daddy are going to be here to talk about your Christmas presents, so stay in the room or you won't get no presents. For taxes. Now, me and Daddy have important taxes, so y'all, it's very important. So y'all
very
stay
important.
And let me and Daddy.
Very important. Get out! Go ahead, Miss Linda.
It's also hard when you and your husband have opposite appetites.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
One has, you know, wants
high desire.
A high desire, and one has a low desire.
Low desire. That's usually the way it goes.
You have to, and don't ignore me all day and then expect me to go to want something at night.
I have a big fight and then crawl in bed and they're ready to go.
Is there any better way to make up? Come on, guys, let's have a little help here. Help a brother out.
Women don't go that way.
No. This is good. I love this. This is awesome. All right, Jamie and Rachel, give that a shot.
Moving right along.
All that.
Well, I would say, I mean, like work stress, you know, we don't have kids, we don't have children ourselves, but work stress is a huge thing. Like, we used to be on night shift, and just the opposite hours of the day is weird, and it messes everything up. Finances, and just stress, life stress, really.
Awesome. All right, Ms. Rand, Ms. Linda?
Just quick thinking there. I think it just like when you were talking about the things of the P, if we didn't have all these other things lined up, you know, sexual intimacy is not, well, I mean, you can have sex, but you can't really have intimacy if all these things aren't lined up.
Right, that's good.
And when we were, you know, if we weren't on the same page, then, you know, that's a hindrance. Also, I worked swing shift for over 30 years, and, you know, you sleep in during the day, and she's at home by herself at night, and, you know, just, but I think the big thing is being in harmony with each other, I guess would be the word to put it, is what you need.
And communication. Like, if you're stressed, be like, hey, I'm just stressed right now, and then the other person be like, well, is there anything I can help you since you are stressed? Because usually that helps, and then you feel better, and then you want to, like, fulfill their desire.
Good. Yeah. I think one of the words that we're looking for here is it has to stay a priority in your marriage. And for it to be a priority, you've got to make it a priority in your mind, in your emotions. You got to have that time, energy, and resources to dedicate to it. And I see that's one of the first things that gets let go when either the world system starts getting too heavy, the workload, the kid load. It's like that goes off the priority list when that should be one of the highest things on your priority. Agreed?
Yes.
It's the one thing the devil's always going to come against, because he knows that that is as close as two people can be in a relationship of God, is in the sexual intimacy time. You can't get any closer. Amen? Can't get no more connected with your spouse, okay? But again, it's not just about that. It's making it a priority. And some people say, well, you know, like we've had, our minds are here. My mind's on the church, growing the church, going to this ministry, setting up a conference, going to speak here. These guys, jobs, swing shifts, night shifts, ministry time all the time. But here's what I've told couples that's helped set some people free, and I'm going to put it in the book. Where your mind goes, your body will follow. Now, let me say it again. Where your mind goes, your body will follow. So if your mind's never a priority for the sexual intimacy inside your marriage, well, of course your body's not going to go there, because it starts here first. Amen? All right, real quick, last question, and then we're going to let you go, and I know our children's workers are needing this. But real quickly, I think this is the one I want to end on. Would you say that you are significantly involved in your church and that you're connected to other church members? And do you agree that this type of fellowship is important to your Christian life and to also to help you with your vows and to be around that other Christian influence inside the church other than just regular attendance? Well, how does the church and being involved in it bless your marriage? We'll start with Mr. Rand. Or let's start down here and we'll go that way and end up with the wisest. The wisdom here and the wisdom there, and us two younger ones are just going
to
guess.
I cannot stress how important it is to be involved and not just coming to church. If you're just coming to church, that is great and wonderful. Come to church.
Yes.
You're not going to get connected just coming to a Sunday morning service.
No.
We
not even if you're serving.
Like life groups, that's why I'm so passionate about it. And we just had this, it wasn't even me yesterday at our morning life group. The ladies jumped on this bandwagon about, you know, how great it is because you don't get time to connect and fellowship with one another. And in a life group, you do. You get more of a one-on-one. It's more intimate. And so, okay, in our earlier years of marriage, before life groups, we were just hanging out with people. Like, we would commit to something and say we were going to go. Well, then he would do something stupid and make me mad. And we would be in an argument, and we really didn't want to go. But because we told him we'd go, we'd go. So guess what? Time we get there, we get to laughing and having fun.
Yeah.
We forget about it. I realize, you know, okay, he's not as bad. He's not the only man that does that or whatever. And so,
thank you, babe.
You know, we'd forget about it and we would be fine. Yeah. So I think it is very important to be around other Christian couples and to laugh and to have fun. And that's how you do it, by being involved, getting involved in activities that your church does.
Yeah.
Definitely get involved in a life group. That's a plug. We okay. need spring life group leaders.
Go ahead, Miss Linda.
In a church the size of Journey, there is no way to be connected if you're not in a life group. I came, and I could come every Sunday, but as far as knowing people, I didn't know anybody other than Chris and his... and a few people that he would introduce me to. But once I started in a life group, then I began connection with other ladies. And we came to the breakfast, ladies' breakfast, and we've had that going for, I don't know,
years.
4 or 5 years at Cracker Barrel. And now I'm leading that life group. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm enjoying it. I love it.
Yeah.
Pastor Kim said the Lord inspired her to ask me to take it, and I felt like it was time for me to do something then. And but the life, being connected with other people, is there's nothing like it. You, it's such a lift. And in our earlier life, we were in small churches, so that was about the size of a life group. So that's how we stayed as encouraged and everything was. And so that was the same as being in a life group all the time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But, yes, it very much kept us going.
Great.
Yeah, I think, I mean, being part of your church, I think God designed us to be, like, to want companionship, to want to grow, and especially within the church, right, to grow in Christ together, you know, the ability to go to a life group and to get to know people, as y'all were saying, to grow closer to one another, even if we're in a big church, but also us being the young couple, you know, mm-hmm. Looking at Ray and Linda, Miss Bates, and y'all, as well as other people who have been further along the journey, just to get to know y'all, because y'all have been through the same struggles we've been through, and how did y'all overcome it, and then growing closer to y'all as well as
awesome.
Each other.
All right, Mr. Moore.
Well, I think one of the worst things that you can do is isolate yourself. And so that's why it's so important to be involved in the church, not just, as they said, on a Sunday morning, but to be involved and really get to know people, because these are family. Most of you are young enough to be our kids and grandkids. So, you know, it's very important to us. You're very, very important to us. And we thank God that He led us to Journey almost 17 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. All right, come on, give these guys a hand today. Amen. Thank y'all for sharing with us today. Y'all can come off this way. You know, again, I want to close with this right here. You can stay seated, standing. We're about to go. But, you know, the aspect of church and family, I think they go hand in hand. And I think when you just attend, again, you may need to start out just attending. But guys, let me tell you something. I think one of the other reason I think me and my wife made it through the harder times and the stupid times of marriage, number one, we didn't have no marriage counseling because it wasn't available back then. We were told to get married, put God in the center, and it'll be okay. Sure, sounds good. Boy, we wasn't ready. We dated 6 years, but we still wasn't ready to get married after we got married. But we've made it. But one of the founding things we look back on and seen was, at the time, I was playing a lot of Christian music in different groups, and we traveled a lot. We had tour buses, and we were surrounded. And I mean, I'm talking 16 and 13 is when we met and started liking each other. So from 16 to 13, all the way that we got married, most of our weekends were on a bus going somewhere. But it wasn't just on a bus going somewhere. It was, the one group had, gosh, six other couples in it, five or six other married couples. They went, but me and her were single, and three of us were single. We all had girlfriends, and then everybody else was married Christian couples, older than us. And we gleaned so much from that we didn't even know we were gleaning. But it was being in that atmosphere of godly marriages, godly couples, and whether we realize it or not at the time, we look back, we know that's what got us through some of them things, is seeing the example set before us. And the fun we had as couples like that almost was illegal, but it was all godly. We had a blast. Christians are fun when they're free in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? So let's just bow our heads real quickly. Father, we thank you for this series, God. And my ultimate prayer is that every marriage here has been helped in some capacity. And help to go to the next level. Help to go past their past. And help to admit that we don't know everything and we got to constantly work on this. And I pray today, God, that they would make marriage their priority. One of their top priorities in their home is to be a godly marriage and get help and get around people like Miss Bates and here she is, she's a widowed woman, Father. But Lord, so much wisdom in her, God, and Mr. Ray and Linda, and the wisdom they have, and I know me and Kim and everyone, but we have both looked at both of these people, Miss Bates and Mr. and Miss Ray and Linda, and we've learned and saw their marriage and how they operate, and after her husband's went to heaven, how she still operates as that wife and woman of God. And Lord, that is spoken to our lives as their pastors. So Lord, we're all learning. And so Lord, help us keep learning. And if you're here today and you've never learned that Jesus died for your sins, maybe you've learned it, but you've never committed to it, today's your day. Because right now we're going to give you that opportunity to say, I surrender my life to Christ. And I want to know that I know. Maybe if you're not sure of that, today I want to know that I know that I'm saved. And I want a prayer, and I'm going to come up here in a little bit when this prayer team's up here, and I'm just going to get everything right. But if that's you today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior without any strings attached, no membership, joining a church today, no religion today, just Jesus. If that's you, lift your hand and say, today's my day. Anybody? All right, I know it's got kind of a message for that, but that's okay. We always do it, give you the opportunity. But how many of us say today, my marriage needs help no matter where it's at? Come on, lift your hand. My marriage, no matter where it's at, 60-year marriage right here says we're still learning. And I think that's one of the successes why they've got 60 years coming at it. They're still learning. We're still learning. So, Father, your plan for every marriage in here, even the single people, that you want them to have a mate one day. You want them to have that spouse. Every marriage, God wants to get better. Every marriage, God wants to bless to the next level. But there's a devil that wants to destroy it. There's a devil that wants you to get in lust and not love and marry the wrong person and not wait on him. Do it God's way. And I promise you, 100% guarantee, promise you, God will work it out. And it'll honor him and glorify him when you do it God's way. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. Everybody say in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.